Chapter 1. Hadley Masterson pulled to a stop outside the funeral home and prayed for God to strike her dead. She didn't want to die. But dead would be a whole lot easier than walking in that door alone. And once she was inside, she had little chance at escaping unnoticed. Truth be told, she'd much rather take her chances with a forgiving maker than her mother. Was that bad? She closed her eyes and shook her head at herself. She was a 45-year-old woman who quivered in fear at the thought of facing a woman once crowned the island's mermaid queen. Yeah, well, it didn't have to be like this, did it, Hattie? Why did you wait so long? Lie. She fisted her hands in frustration and tried to mentally find her bootstraps. What had seemed like a good idea at the time was now a nightmare, and wishes and wants would get her nowhere. When the time was right, she had to break the news. Somehow. Hadley got out of the car and fought the urge to dive back in and make a break for it while she could, squealing away from the funeral home like a NASCAR driver. But what kind of granddaughter didn't pay her respects? Especially to her namesake? Hadley inhaled and fussed with the straps of her purse as she slowly approached the entrance. She'd chosen her funeral clothes with the utmost care and wore a black pencil skirt and a sleeveless black top with a bit of white piping around the half-inch ruffled collar, the strand of pearls and studs she'd received from Nan on her 13th birthday, and paired it all with 2-inch wedges because, as her mother always said, open toes and sand just didn't do. Hadley paused on the sidewalk when her ears picked up the distinct sound of calypso music. Surely the music had to be coming from somewhere else. She turned her head, looking up and down the street for some sign of an outdoor band or restaurant. Because calypso music? For a funeral? For the first time since she'd left Raleigh, Hadley smiled as a huff of a laugh left her. Oh, Nan, you didn't. Mrs. Georgia Hadley Benson had died in her sleep at the youthful age of 92, a spitfire of a woman and the last of the Boardwalk Babe's parents. During the summers of 58 and 59, Georgia, along with 3 of her prominent Carolina Cove neighbors and friends, had given birth to a baby girl. One even had a set of twins. The proud mothers had taken the babes for daily strolls in their prams, and the locals had nicknamed them the Boardwalk Babes, a name used to this day by the now 60-somethings who'd gone on to have their own children. All in all, Hadley had 4 pseudo-aunts and 10 cousins, 7 female, with the twin babes each having a set of twins of their own, and 3 male ranging in age from Hadley's 45 to the youngest at 32. The funeral home's ornate door swung open, and sure enough, Mighty Sparrow blasted from within. Apparently, Nan's last act was to go to heaven with a good old-fashioned beach party. Hattie could only imagine her mother's mortification, and despite her own horror at having to go inside, she smiled at her grandmother's moxie. She really needed to find her own, fast. Hadley stopped as an older man surged through the doors, the smell of Old Spice and cheap cigars drifting to her nose. He tipped an imaginary hat, his triple chins bobbing as he hurried along down the stairs. The door shut once more, and she paused on the steps, hand gripping the white vinyl railing as though that alone would anchor her in the turbulent storm beyond. Go in. Sign the book. Sneak out as quickly and quietly as possible. Maybe they wouldn't even notice? Yeah, what were the odds of that? She shoved her shoulder-length hair behind her ear, and then just as quickly loosened it when her mother's voice sounded in her head telling her it would deform her ears and she'd have to have them surgically pinned or else look like Dumbo. Amazing what years of fussing could do to a grown woman, no matter her age. Cheryl Dummett was all about appearances, though, and Hadley couldn't remember a time when her mother hadn't been put together like a perfectly dressed Barbie, and expected Hadley be the same. Even a trip to the beach was expected to be made in full makeup, some kind of flowing cover-up that perfectly matched her suit, wedges, floppy hat, and jewelry. all part of portraying the perfect image of a babe on the beach. Hattie took another breath and forced herself to climb the remaining steps, heart in her throat, as she yanked open the door and forced her foot across the threshold before she could change her mind. She'd gotten a stress headache on the drive to the coast, and the cloying smell of the many flower arrangements threatened to turn the painful throbbing into a full-blown migraine. A waiter passed with a tray of champagne, and since she wasn't about to look a gift horse in the mouth, she hastily accepted the offer and turned to face the wall while she gulped it down, all in an attempt to brace herself for the moment her mother and the rest of the babes realized she'd come alone. Oh, the horror! Hadley set the now empty flute aside and lingered in the shadowy corner, taking in the many mourners gathered. Only Nan would or could get by with throwing a party in the very conservative funeral parlor. But then Nan and her friends, then the babes, had pretty much always gotten away with whatever they wanted. The ladies believed there wasn't much that couldn't be accomplished with a bright smile, a few compliments, and some well-practiced feminine wiles. And if that didn't work, throwing some money at the problem usually did the trick, though was rarely necessary. One wouldn't think Carolina Cove fancy enough for such an elite group. It wasn't Wrightsville Beach after all, but the family's longevity and reputations carried a lot of clout on the little island. More so when all five of the babes wed into well-to-do families and thereby increased the status quo up until the last 20 years or so, when tourists began buying up all of the island real estate and muddying the waters, so to speak. The original boardwalk homes were now owned by the babes, with Hadley's generation scattered about, away from the babes' nosy reach. To spy on their kids, the babes had to really do some digging more often than not. Yes, this generation left the babes shaking their motherly heads. Because of their 11 offspring, only 3 had married so far, much to their complete disgruntlement, disbelief, and matchmaking efforts. But out of sight didn't equate to out of mind, and the babes made a point of nosing into their children's lives as often as humanly possible, distance notwithstanding. Hadley spotted yet another waiter, this one carrying a cheese tray. She really ought to eat something to absorb the bubbly she'd just chugged, but her nerves wouldn't allow it. Ever since the phone call informing her of Nan's death, Hadley had run the gamut of emotions due to the required trip back to Carolina Cove, and the grief that continuously sucked the air from her lungs at random moments. Maybe she should have made an excuse? Claimed sickness. I'm sorry, Nan. You know it's not you. My life won't be the same without you. Hadley spotted the guestbook and slowly moved that way. Pen in hand, she paused. La, why did everything about this have to be so difficult? Pen poised over the paper, she finally signed her name. Her name, no one else's. Hattie. Is that you? The feminine voice belonged to Mary Elizabeth, Allie, Sophia, and Isabel's mother. Allie was the only other babe offspring who had married, and Hadley wondered how things were going with them. The last time she'd seen Allie, the poor girl looked stressed, but then what mother didn't? Smile pinned to her lips, Hadley turned and faced the striking woman. Mary Elizabeth wore black slacks that showcased her slim figure, kitten heels, and a long-sleeved sweater set that mocked the 87-degree temperature outside. Mimi, how are you? Oh, honey, how are you? I'm so sorry about your Nan. Your mama will be thrilled to see you. She's just heartbroken. I'm sure. Nan's relationship with her daughter had been as rocky as Hadley's with her mother, proving generational dysfunction was really a thing. What was it with mothers and daughters? Why did they always butt heads? Hadley's relationship with her own daughter oftentimes proved difficult, more so than with Hadley and her son. Where's that handsome husband of yours? Already at the bar? And where are the kids? Mary Elizabeth asked, looking all around. The questions brought Hadley back to awareness, and even though she wanted to laugh at the idea of a bar at a funeral, she inhaled and braced herself for the first of many explanations. The kids started college a few days ago and are over their heads with that, and Kyle. Well, he's the guest lecturer at a surgical convention, she said. It wasn't a lie. The kids had told her Kyle had been asked to speak at a prestigious banquet and would be out of town all week. With her. Oh, Hadley, you're alone. I'm so sorry, hun. I'm fine, Hadley said, wishing she had another glass of champagne if for no other reason than to give her hands something to hold to stop the tremor she was forced to try to hide. Mary Elizabeth enveloped Hadley in a hug, and she counted backwards in an attempt to maintain her composure. It felt good to be hugged by someone who'd loved her, literally her whole life. Too good because the ever-present tears quickly formed and threatened to overflow. Amazing how such a simple gesture could open up a tidal wave of emotions. You're not. But no worries. I'm here for you, Mary Elizabeth said when she finally released Hadley. Come on. Let's get you something to drink. Hadley nodded and thanked God for the reprieve, even though she knew it would be short-lived. Mary Elizabeth might be satisfied with Hadley's excuses, but when her mother found out Kyle wasn't there, more questions were coming. The two probing kind. Hadley smiled when Mary Elizabeth linked their arms and began the slow, ambling shuffle through the throng of guests. The flutes weren't far from reach, and even though she knew she ought to pass given her empty stomach and the one she'd already had, Hadley gratefully accepted a second glass. Your mama is in with Ms. Georgia. Come on, I'll walk you. Oh, do we have to? The words slipped out before she could stop them, and she saw Mary Elizabeth's gaze narrow. Hadley. Oh, honey, what's wrong? Hadley's expression must have given her away. Or maybe it was that, of all the babes, including her own mother, Hadley was closest to Mary Elizabeth. Nothing. Sorry, yes, of course, let's go in. Wait. Hadley, what is it? What's going on? Nothing. I'm fine, I'm just... It's Nan. I don't want to think of her that way, I guess. The image. I am okay, though. Really. Mary Elizabeth's expression made it clear she saw more than Hadley wanted her to. Hadley wet her lips and tried again. Mimi, please just... I can't talk about it. Not here. Definitely not now. Sadness darkened Mary Elizabeth's gaze, but she nodded and mustered a reassuring smile for Hadley. I see. Well, today is about Ms. Georgia, so let's focus on her for the time being and leave that talk for later. Shall we? Hadley nodded at the question and took a fortifying sip of the bubbly. Thank you, she said softly, even though Mama probably won't agree. Oh, Cheryl can be trying, but we've got her number after all of these years. You leave it to me. Mary Elizabeth patted Hadley's arm and turned to lead the way through the throng of mourners once more. Hadley spied her mother at the end of the long receiving line, looking as regal as ever, with her hair swept back in an elegant twist, the skirt of her black suit the perfect length. Hadley felt older than her mother at this stage. Maybe she should have paid more attention to those lectures on proper skin care. Hadley, will you be staying in town tonight after the service? Hadley's grip on Mary Elizabeth's arm tightened. No. I see. You're worrying me, sweetheart. I feel you trembling, and while I know you're upset over your grandmother's passing, I'm not convinced that's the reason for your distress. Hadley closed her eyes for a long second before opening them again, staring at the ugly little dots in the carpet beneath her feet. It's not. Kyle. She couldn't say the words aloud. She just couldn't. Even though Mary Elizabeth was the one person Hadley knew she could trust, to be supportive. I see. I take it your mama will be upset with whatever it is that brought you here, alone? Mary Elizabeth asked. Hadley struggled to breathe and shifted her gaze to the woman beside her. Oh, you know mama. Well, just remember, if you need an escape, my house is always open. An escape? Yeah, she needed an escape. But the sooner she left Carolina Cove, the better. Mary Elizabeth Shipley held tight to Hadley's arm, painfully aware of her goddaughter's quivering form. Across the room, she locked gazes with her husband and gave him a slight shake of her head, indicating her suspicions had been right. She'd told Adam for a while now that she just knew something was wrong where Hadley was concerned. And Hadley showing up to Miss George's funeral alone and quaking in her heels was proof positive something was amiss. Not that Mary Elizabeth wanted to be right about this. Oh, Hadley said, the word a tearful gasp. Your grandmother is still the most beautiful woman in the room, Mary Elizabeth said softly, patting Hattie's hand. She is, isn't she? The raw emotion in Hattie's voice brought fresh tears to Mary Elizabeth's eyes, and she hurried to blink them back. Miss Georgia had been such a mainstay in her life, but today was about Hadley and Cheryl's loss, not hers. Georgia is someone we all hope to embody at her age. Do you know she volunteered at the center and then had lunch with her friends up until the day she passed? Georgia lived right up until the very end. We can only pray to be so blessed. Hadley nodded and extracted herself to search in her purse for a tissue. Here you go, Mary Elizabeth said, pulling one of the many tissues she'd tucked up her sleeve. A laugh bubbled out of Hadley's chest at the sight, and Mary Elizabeth smiled at the sound, glad she could offer a bit of amusement at such a time. Thank you. Mary Elizabeth watched as Hadley dabbed at her eyes, and once she'd collected herself, they began their trek toward the front of the line once again. The thick crowd made it difficult to move more than a step or two without someone blocking their way. Finally, they made it, and Hadley smiled at her mother and stepped forward to hug her. Standing so close, Mary Elizabeth heard Cheryl whisper, "You're late." Mary Elizabeth frowned at her best friend, but Cheryl purposely ignored the pointed look to back off and not be so critical. Hadley's here now. That's all that matters. Hadley, it's so good to see you, Mr. DeCamp said, standing near Cheryl on the next to make his condolences. Though I hate that it's under these circumstances. Hadley nodded and greeted the longtime family friend before she took position beside her mother to receive the mourners. I wish someone would turn down that ridiculous music, Cheryl said. Oh, that's George's favorite. The older woman who'd spoken leaned in to give Hadley a hug before moving on to Cheryl. Georgia loved going on those Caribbean cruises. Told us all about them. The woman was dressed in nurse's scrubs, and Mary Elizabeth watched as Cheryl practically wrinkled her nose right then and there, with the woman looking on. No doubt, Cheryl expected everyone to be funeral dressed no matter the circumstances, rather than prioritizing the fact the woman had undoubtedly waited quite a while before heading to work or coming from a long shift just to pay her respects. I'm sure. Thank you for coming, Cheryl managed to say to the woman when it was her turn. She extended her hand despite the woman taking a step forward to hug Cheryl, like she had Hadley. An awkward few seconds passed before the woman shook Cheryl's hand and continued on her way. Hadley's father walked up and kissed his daughter's cheek before placing a supportive hand at his wife's waist. Mary Elizabeth watched Jerry make the gesture with a tug of pity. Cheryl was a good person, but she was very set in wanting things to be done her way. Today was a difficult day, one Georgia had made more trying due to her individualistic choices and secret last requests, knowing full well the tizzy they'd send her only daughter into. But that was the type of relationship they'd had. One filled with equal shares of love and quarrels. Leaving the small family to their duties, Mary Elizabeth turned away and made her way over to the back of the funeral home, where the other babes stood talking. "How's Cheryl holding up?" Tessa asked, her dangly earrings swinging beneath her short-cropped salt-and-pepper hair. "As well as expected, I guess," Mary Elizabeth said. "Oh, I just noticed Hattie finally arrived," Adeline said, peering over her twin shoulder. "My. She's lost weight since I saw her last." Raina Jo shushed her sister, and Adeline shrugged. "It's the truth. Looking downright peaked if you ask me," she said, still staring. Mary Elizabeth had noticed the change as well. Not because Hadley had ever been heavy, but because her average frame had gotten noticeably thinner. "I think she's as beautiful as always." "No one's arguing that," Raina Jo said. "Has she been dieting? I heard people lose a lot on that keto one." "Or maybe she finally decided to test out Kyle's office equipment," Tessa said. "Where is Kyle anyway? I've been wanting to talk to him." "Haven't you had enough lifts and tucks for the time being? You and Cheryl are making the rest of us look bad," Adeline said with a lift of her Botox-less eyebrow. "I beg your pardon, but who made you the cosmetic police?" Tessa's blinged-out earrings flashed, despite the dimmed interior of the funeral home. "Besides, if Hadley can use Kyle's little machines to lose weight, why shouldn't I take advantage of his expertise as well?" "Don't you mean the family discount?" Adeline muttered loud enough for all to hear. "No one said she's done any such thing," Mary Elizabeth chided in a low voice, more than ready to come to Hadley's defense. "True. And let's forget Hadley for a moment. You're going after number four, aren't you?" Adeline said to Tessa. "Before every husband, you run off for a retreat and come back looking 10 years younger." Mary Elizabeth watched as the only single babe shrugged and smiled like the cat who'd swallowed the canary. Tessa wore a dress 20 years too young for her 62-year-old body, but she pulled it off due to the hours of yoga and running she did on a daily basis. But Tessa and Cheryl were also alike, in that they had a whole slew of regimes they performed when it came to skin and hair, not to mention surgical, and would die chasing the fountain of youth. The tallest and thinnest of the group, Tessa had divorced one husband and buried two, with a child to show for each of them. But after 4 years as a widow, apparently the tide had turned yet again. "Look out, Carolina Cove," Raina Jo said, smiling as she lifted her champagne flute. "Is there a particular someone you have in mind?" Adeline asked. "Does this have anything to do with you and Bruce?" Mary Elizabeth asked. Bruce Holloway was Tessa's first husband, and the two had been seen hanging out quite a bit lately, after Tessa had had a close call with a con artist. "Perhaps," Tessa said. "Really? Why the change of heart?" Mary Elizabeth asked. "Lord knows why any of us would take on a new man at this age," Adeline added. "Technically he's not new," Tessa said, earning an eye roll from Adeline. "And I had my doubts as well, but he isn't the stranger who came back from Vietnam. Thank God." Mary Elizabeth watched how Tessa glanced toward the front of the room, and her expression softened, her gaze saddened. "Besides, if you really want to know, Ms. Georgia got me thinking. I realized she's been alone the last 30 years. If I have another 30 to go, I'd like to spend them with someone special." Mary Elizabeth managed a smile at her friend's statement. Tessa had suffered more than her share of heartache. "Well, I say there are no guarantees. You might feel just as lonely as you do right now," Adeline said. "Maybe you should focus on simply widening your social circle and going out with friends more." Mary Elizabeth's gaze landed on Raina Jo before shifting to Adeline. One night not so long ago, Raina Jo had confided in Mary Elizabeth, sharing her concern that her twin seemed a little too keen on the attention one of their new male clients was doling out. Was Adeline speaking from experience? I'm going to go check on the caterers, Reina Jo said. I need a trip to the ladies' room before I go track down Hugh. I'll come with you, Adeline added. The sisters walked away, and Mary Elizabeth felt Tessa studying her. Where's Adam? Tessa asked. Oh, he was here but had to step out. He'll be back, though. Business, Tessa said. Mary Elizabeth nodded. It seemed Adam worked longer hours now than he had fresh out of law school. But part of the reason was that their wealthy neighbors knew he worked from home a lot, and liked the convenience of an attorney capable of handling their business from the convenience of the beach. Hey, are you sure you're okay? Tessa asked. Mary Elizabeth nodded, her gaze locked on Hadley's strained features. Her goddaughter was miserably unhappy, and Mary Elizabeth's mind whirled with possibilities, none of them pleasant. I'm fine. Just tired. It's been a long couple of days, hasn't it? She linked their arms and gently tugged, ready for a distraction herself. Let's go get some champagne and talk more about Bruce, shall we?